And some raillery happened between one of the fruit wenches and those black men about the devil and Eve, with allusion to their several professions. I could not believe any place more entertaining than Covent Garden, where I strolled from one fruit shop to another, with crowds of agreeable young women around me, who were purchasing fruit for their respective families. It was almost 8 o'clock before I could leave that variety of objects. I took coach and followed a young lady who tripped into another just before me, attended by her maid. I saw immediately she was of the family of the vain loves. There are a set of these who, of all things, affect the play of blind man's buff and leading men into love for they know not whom, who have fled they know not where. This sort of woman is usually a jaunty slattern. She hangs on her clothes, plays her head, varies her posture, and changes place incessantly, and all with an appearance of striving at the same time to hide herself, and yet give you to understand she is in humour to laugh at you. You must have often seen the coachmen make signs with their fingers as they drive by each other to intimate how much they have got that day. They can carry on that language to give intelligence when they're driving. In an instant, my coachman took the wink to pursue, and the lady's driver gave the hint that he was going through Long Acre towards St. James's. While he whipped up James Street, we drove for King Street to save the pass at St. Martin's Lane. The coachman took care to meet, jostle and threaten each other for way, and be entangled at the end of Newport Street and Long Acre. The fright, you must believe, brought down the lady's coach door and obliged her, with her mask off, to inquire into the bustle, when she sees the man she would avoid. The tackle of the coach window is so bad she cannot draw it up again, and she drives on sometimes wholly discovered and sometimes half escaped, according to the accident of carriages in her way. One of these ladies keeps her seat in a hackney coach as well as the best rider does on a managed horse. The laced shoe on her left foot, with a careless gesture, just appearing on the opposite cushion, held her both firm and in a proper attitude to receive the next jolt. As she was an excellent coachwoman, many were the glances at each other which we had for an hour and a half, in all parts of the town, by the skill of our drivers, till at last my lady was conveniently lost, with notice from her coachman to ours to make off, and he should hear where she went. This chase was now at an end, and the fellow who drove her came to us and discovered that he was ordered to come again in an hour, for that she was a silkworm. I was surprised with this phrase, but found it was a cant among the hackney fraternity for their best customers, women who ramble twice or thrice a week from shop to shop to turn over all the goods in town without buying anything. The silkworms are, it seems, indulged by the tradesmen, for though they never buy, they are ever talking of new silks, laces and ribbons, and serve the owners in getting them customers, as their common dunners do in making them pay. The day of people of fashion began now to break, and carts and hacks were mingled with equipages of show and vanity, when I resolved to walk it out of cheapness. But my unhappy curiosity is such that I find it always my interest to take coach, for some odd adventure among beggars, ballad singers, or the like, detains and throws me into expense. It happened so immediately. For at the corner of Warwick Street, as I was listening to a new ballad, a ragged rascal, a beggar who knew me, came up to me, and began to turn the eyes of the good company upon me by telling me he was extremely poor and should die in the street for want of drink, except I immediately would have the charity to give him sixpence to go into the next alehouse and save his life. He urged with a melancholy face that all his family had died of thirst. All the mob have humour, and two or three began to take the jest, by which Mr. Sturdy carried his point and let me sneak off to a coach. As I drove along, it was a pleasing reflection to see the world so prettily chequered since I left Richmond, and the scene still filling with children of a new hour. This satisfaction increased as I moved towards the city, and gay...